Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. Weekend is almost here. Friday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer, and it's got to be Friday. Will's wearing the hat backwards. You can join us, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Fall camp officially underway with practice this morning. No media coverage of that. All is well, right? Because you know nothing, and that's fine. You'll have a media availability coming up on Monday, and Coach Ginander will speak. So we'll get you that information. But Nebraska back on the practice field today. We'll get in touch coming up with Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore in 15 minutes. In hour two, the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman going to be with us. As we'll get ready for 2019 with a man who has seen a lot of Husker football in his time. And then back to Las Vegas, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. He is out in Las Vegas working with Musburger's Group. Bless his heart. We'll get some final numbers as camp opens for everybody on the Big Ten West and the Big Ten in general when it comes to where things may have trended, folks getting in line to throw money, to win money. So Danny Burke coming up at around 5:40. Give us your emails, chris@halevarsity.com. And we'll also take your tweets at Schmidt underscore radio, at Willie underscore Bauer. Lots of questions. Fan day, though, is where we need to start from last night. Okay, winner. The guy who showed up with a mannequin in a bikini. That is the winner of possibly the most bizarre thing I have seen signed. Plenty of footage from our 1011 media partner with... Now, I didn't see the person bringing the... it was half of a mannequin, thankfully, and plopping it down in front of Adrian Martinez. I know Adrian had a police escort, and he still stopped to sign autographs getting out of there. Maurice Washington not on hand. We'll get to running backs and some thoughts Ryan Held had on Sports Nightly. But I want to spend a minute here from Fan Day and run through the sights and sounds of one Super Mario. Right? Super Mario is the Nebraska beloved quarterback's coach, and he is all sorts of proper and interesting. And just sit back and listen to Super Mario as the no one threw roses at him, but you couldn't tell.
Mario, I love you, man.
What's up, Bev?
I love you.
Thanks, man. It's good to be loved. Me and Masker getting it freaking done, man.
He's sitting there with backup quarterback Matt Masker, just sighted away, getting it done. More from Super Mario about said torso.
I just signed a torso, so I this is small potatoes right there, man. That was the first. I think I signed a leg last year, but I don't know that I've ever signed a torso.
So that is a bit creepy. I wish I could have asked Super Mario, did you sign an ankle? Did you sign a calf? Did you sign a quad? Do we go further up? Side of hip? I don't know. But he had to sign a leg last year when he signed a torso. And Mario's pretty well-rounded, brilliant guy. And he just has to smile. More from Mario. This was disappointing because the picture on social media that is straight OG, that is gangster, is Mario walking from bus to locker room with sport coat on, crisp shirt, slacks, cigar. You've seen it. You've smiled at it. And it's an unlit cigar that Super Mario rocked last year at some point on his way into Memorial Stadium. OG Godfather style. Where was the cigar yesterday?
I'd have had my cigar, but Frosty might have killed me this year.
Okay. I want to start a rally here for Mario being able to have the cigar. Cue up Pink Floyd. Is it not fair if some coaches, maybe even head coaches, can rock a 7-pound Lenny Dykstra tribute chaw, that Super Mario should have his cigar unlit? There's no secondhand pollution going on. But that's some sights and sounds from Fan Day. We'll talk to Jay Moore about if it got freaky for him back in the Callahan era with things. So let's talk Ryan Held. And he was with Sports Nightly touching on, vacation. And with Nebraska, this position group is so important. Here is Coach Frost, 13, on the running back opportunity that exists. Coach Hale went a little further into detail last night.
Running back's going to be interesting. We got several new guys. We're going to throw those guys into the deep end and give them reps. And typically in a camp like we run it, we get so many offensive and defensive snaps per practice that those guys get worn out and aren't necessarily wanting more reps. We can always, a couple receivers we have that I think can take some running back snaps as well, but we'll divide those guys up and get them all a lot of work and see who comes out of the pack.
I don't worry about Nebraska finding a back or a few backs. I think Nebraska and Coach Held showed that, look, and this was a combination effort between the desire and want-to of a guy named Ziggy and also coaching and coaching up by Ryan Held. You were always kind of wondering and waiting for Divino Zigbo to have a season. And for whatever reason, he wouldn't start, and then, boom, he started. And Nebraska was never the same in a good way running the football. And the combination and change of pace with Ziggy and with Maurice Washington was nice. Because with Mo, you had a guy that could hit the outside, that can catch the football, that you can split out. With Ziggy, he caught the football too. But Ziggy was the guy that could run between the tackles and had that extra gear. I mean, listen, I'm the last guy to say Ziggy was a take-it-to-the-house home run threat. But the way he leaned up and chiseled his body and added speed and burst through working hard, the guy was a game changer for Nebraska. Big time back for Nebraska. An underappreciated back, and it went out the right way for him. Good luck to him with New Orleans. So the theme last night was versatility for the running backs. And Coach Held, no doubt, very steadfast, very confident that Nebraska's running backs will be a point of strength. So, you have that versatility. Maurice Washington's the most experienced rusher. And that's really it. So, does Mills get to be that 2.0 version of Ziggy? You hope so. Mills has done it on a big stage in a big-time conference. Can he do it again? Time will tell with that. Guys will get snaps, but Held is, hell-bent on bringing it every day and earning it. Common theme with each position group with this Nebraska mindset. So you have two freshman backs that, according to Coach Held, got some praise and have a chance to see early playing time. Ramir Johnson, Ronald Tompkins. Tompkins still rehabbing an injury, won't be on that 110 roster, but he's added 5 to 7 pounds. Ramir Johnson came in at about 180 pounds. He'll have a shot to show off that elite speed. And Ramir Johnson's a Jersey kid. And Jersey running backs are special dudes. Just high level of football, tough group of kids, tough state. And you have that speed. It's pretty nice. Miles Jones is a guy you saw a little bit in the spring. He was dinged. You didn't see him at all last year. And he kind of fits that duck position where he can catch it and he can run it. I love his patience and how he can kind of accelerate after a second step and his lateral ability. So the big question, obviously, is, you know, you got Mills, you have Ramir Johnson, you have Tompkins, and then where do you slot Wandale Robinson? Do you want him as a receiving threat, please, and yes, and thank you? Do you want him as a running threat? How many times is Wandale going to touch the football as a back? That's something the coaches can and will figure out. So you have Miles, you have Wandale, different types of guys, but both versatile enough players. And you know a guy I like is Wyatt Mazur. And Wyatt reminds me, at least his style, of Rex Burkhead, the way he runs. And he can catch the football and he can run the football and he's tough. Brody Belt, also a guy and a name you know that could find some time in a role. So the name, my dad asked me this weekend. We're in Colorado. He's like, what the hell's going on with Jalen Bradley? Where's Bradley at? I'm like, good question, Dad. And here's what Ryan Held had to say about it. He needs improved strength, physicality, and familiarity. So when I read strength, physicality, and familiarity, this is what it means to me. It means, is the guy doing what he needs to do in the weight room? I would think so. Even though coach is saying, look, you need to do more. So that's a challenge. Are you going to run tough between the tackles, or are you just an outside zone guy? And familiarity with the offense, do you know three plays or do you know 33 plays? I mean, there's your reason as to why you haven't seen him. And Coach Held ran into him and challenged him about the opportunity. Get after it. So have you put the work in? Are you bigger? Are you stronger? Are you going to be tougher? Do you know the offense? That's up to Bradley. Smart kid, talented kid, good kid. You do not have a front runner at running back right now. Maurice Washington is kind of the elephant in the room. What's his timetable? What's his timeline? We didn't get to this yesterday. We spent a little bit more time on the toughness angle. But here's a couple of thoughts from Frost on Maurice. And Eric Olson of the Associated Press had these questions. We'll do 12 and 14 here. Let's start with 12.
With Maurice Washington's court date after the season opener, would you anticipate him being available for the first game? Or?
And that's a long way down the road. Right now I'm worried about him doing the right things day by day. Just to be consistent, we're not going to make any decisions on anything until we have more clarity. And all I expect him to do is come to camp, be a good teammate, show up, be where he's supposed to be, and continue working as if he's going to play, and we'll see where the chips fall.
So keep doing you. Last thought here from Frost on Maurice Washington.
With the court system not adjudicating that before the season, what are the factors that they can do account then as far as making a decision on his status?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate that this hasn't all been worked out to this point, but I certainly am keeping it as far away from me and the rest of the team as we can. So that process has got to work out on its own timing. When a decision is made, it won't just be me making it. It'll be leaders of the athletic department and university as well. But like I said, we just have to go about our own work right now, and he does too. And we'll let the chips fall where they may with that once we get more clarity.
That's Coach Frost. Here's Coach Held on Maurice's offseason. He's made conditioning improvements. And Coach Held said he's going to have to bring the A game like everybody else in order to play at the level we want him to play at in this room. The thing that's insane about Maurice Washington from a player standpoint is guys showed up like a day after camp started. I don't have the exact timeline last year, but he showed up and played well and was a difference maker. I'm just talking about the kid from high school to college making plays. And it's not like, and I'm sure he was working out or doing some sort of conditioning and strength training, but he wasn't at Nebraska is the point. He wasn't under Duval last summer. So you could guess that based on what Zach Duval's done, that you're going to see, you may see, you could see a ripped Maurice Washington if he gets on the field at all. And he was nice last year, but if he puts his mind to football and puts the Duval program to work, special. And he was already a special talent last year. Jay Moore, black shirt, Husker NFLer, next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in black shirt, Husker NFLer, Jay Moore, at JMoore44. On Twitter, Bird, it's daddy daycare time, man. Do I need to get the delay ready for Junior's language?
Well, I was gonna say if you didn't get Humston, you're gonna have to. it could have been interesting. He could have dropped a couple F bombs, you know, or a couple WTFs on there. But it's been pretty good though, actually. That might have made national news.
That'd have been all right. Radio host. Radio host canned for guest son's language. The guest son is two. Hey, this time of year's special to you. It's camp in Nebraska. Their first practice this morning, fan day yesterday. And Jay, I want to kind of start off with fan day stuff. And did you ever have like anything super weird you had to sign when you were doing fan day signings?
Not that I remember. You know, we always did fan day towards the end, right at the end of camp. So it was kind of like a culmination of training camp being over. And usually it was on a Saturday morning. And, you know, and then we had quick meetings after that. We kind of had like a day and a half off before school started. So we'd go out and obviously have a good time that Saturday night to celebrate camp being over. But no, I don't remember signing. I want to say I might have signed a baby one time.
You signed a baby too?
Because
I think somebody had to sign a baby last year or 2 years ago, I forget.
Yeah, but you know that
was out there.
But signed
a baby?
Like their skin, but like holding out a baby and like sign the shirt that's on the baby,
like a bib or something.
Or the onesie or whatever they had on. So I think I had to do that. But other than that, it wasn't too crazy. You know, at the D lineman, we were kind of lower on the totem pole. You know, I'm sure if you talk to like Zach Taylor and Joe Gans, those guys at the QB table, you know, they might have signed some, you know, weirder items, but I think like
they might assign mama is what you're saying.
Correct. Right. Or a mannequin. Like I saw people were had to sign yesterday. That was pretty strange and odd. So
yeah,
it's funny what people are willing to lug in there to get signed by some, you know, 19, 20 year old kids.
What is your faith level like in this defensive front? It's one of the deepest groups. It's one of the most experienced groups. You got a new guy in Daniels, but he has played a lot of big time football, and now has a chance to help as a grad transfer. How you feeling about your D line mates?
I feel good. I mean, you know, I'll keep saying it till I'm blue in the face. You get a good O line and a good D line, you're gonna have really solid, you know, consistent football teams. You know, I mean, case in point, we play a program every year that for the past decade or even longer than that, they've had, you know, Wisconsin has had really, really good O O-lines and D-lines, and they've been, you know, a 9-win team at worst, you know, almost every year. You know, last year they're a little down, but I like them. I mean, you can just go down the board, but, you know, you can roll. Actually, you'll be able to play like 8 guys, and that almost made more than that probably. You almost 10 guys you'll be able to roll. You know, and that's just keeping guys healthy, you know, healthier, keeping them more fresh. You know, if this offense just gets rolling and they're scoring at a quicker tick, get more points per play, that this defense could be on the field longer than what it has been in the past. And that's okay. And they train for that, and they understand that that's a possibility. But when you look at, you know, you got both the Daniels brothers, both the Davis brothers, you have Stilley, Deshaun Neal. I'm not going to leave some guys up some younger guys that really haven't played yet. You can go down that board, you know, that depth chart, and there's a lot of guys in depth. Now, it's just making sure they get those guys to play consistent year two, so everyone should be playing more consistent, understand what they're doing, the roles a little better. I know this is the first year with a new D-line coach, so Dawson left, but, you know, this should be the strength of defense. When your D-line's the strength of your defense, everyone behind them plays better. You know, the linebackers will play better. The secondary will play better because they should create a better pass rush. And they don't have to cover for 5 seconds. You know, maybe only cover for 3 seconds. If you're a DB, all you have to do is cover for 3 seconds. You all of a sudden become a really good DB. So I feel really good. Definitely the strength of defense. And, you know, they should be able to build and gain some momentum and defense play more consistently. We have a deep, experienced D-line like we should see here in a few weeks.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, as camp is underway for Nebraska. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at JayMoore44 on Twitter. So you feel good about the defense. I think the secondary feels pretty legit. Was listening to Lamar Jackson yesterday. Wants to do those interception numbers. They did a great job of breaking passes up. They want to turn those opportunities into interceptions, get the offense the ball back. I mean, that's the formula. Be aggressive and raise havoc. Rush defense needs to get better. Pass rush, hurries, sacks, all that stuff needs to improve. Jay, do you think there's a guy that can, or a couple of guys off the edge? I know we just talked to D-line, but is there a couple of guys that can be those bandits? I mean, you were a guy that really got after the quarterback, and you had teammates get after the quarterback when somebody or two guys were paying attention to you. I know the names. You know the names out there, but who do you feel best about making that jump to being kind of that sack master?
Well, I think there'll be different scenarios for guys to kind of step up. But, you know, initially, you know, one guy you kind of heard in coaches talk about is Caleb Tanner. I know he's an outside linebacker, but he's a guy that's, you know, just a prototypical build. Mm-hmm. Should just, you know, in my opinion, you know, kill it. You know, and he's still young, but he has the speed, the size, the length, the gain separation. You know, I think, you know, Ferguson should step up, needs to step up. Alex Davis should step up. You know, those are the outside linebackers. You have to have those, and we've talked about, I think, last on the radio. Mm-hmm. You need to have those outside linebackers step up, because all of a sudden, that's when you can really control the game, is when you know, the offense is sliding their protections to one side or the other, because they know they got a dude coming off the edge that they have to respect and protect and make sure that, you know, they're either chipping with another running back, or, you know, they're sending, you know, tight end help over there. So maybe, you know, now you don't have a running back or tight end in the coverage because they're standing to protect. So all of a sudden, your linebackers can help out and coverage more. That just makes everyone better. You know, then I look at the guys in the D-line that have their hand in the dirt more. Ben Stilley, you know, it's time for him to you know, he's shown what he can do, but it's time to be more consistent. You know, you look at Khalil and Carlos. I mean, both those guys, depending on what role they're asked to do on first and second down versus what they're doing asked to do on third down. But, you know, you get those guys in, you know, in a one-on-one situation in third down, and even they're lined up, you know, on the nose or on the edge in a 5 technique, 4 technique, and they get the right situation, those guys should be able to kill it. I mean, those guys are they're explosive, athletic. I mean, they're throwing shot and discus for the, you know, for the track team, and they should be able to make some havoc. So there's, I mean, I just rattled off, what, six guys that should be able to get up, be able to get after the quarterback. So, I mean, it's even more. I just, you know, it's just how they're going to dial it up. You know, we saw them get somewhat exotic in third down last year, early in the year, but I think they had to kind of back off a little bit just because of who they're playing, and they had to kind of play their cards right. But there's plenty of guys. I know those three outside linebackers, and I say those three guys inside are, you know, putting their hand in the dirt. Those are my three guys that I would have circled that say, okay, you guys need to, you know, there's no reason why you should not have over, you know, five sacks come the end of the year. And if you get those guys all at five sacks, I mean, that's 30 sacks. That's pretty damn good coming out of those picks for production purposes.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, a thought on kind of one of Scott's themes yesterday. Coach Frost touched on toughness, and he knows guys are faster and bigger, but are they going to be tougher? And that's one thing that I thought your guys' teams were pretty tough. I thought Bo's teams were pretty tough. I thought you had the last 3 years where there wasn't as much supervision, and, you know, I thought some of the toughness lacked. What's your take on that making a guy tough that Coach Frost also expanded on? I mean, do you think Nebraska will be a tougher football team in 2019?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, what you're developing in the way we're developing. Oh, man. And then what they're going to get put through. I mean, you can have a tough mindset, but, you know, you really find out who's tough until, you know, you get put in some situations where not a lot of people want to be there and do it. That's my thought kind of theory. You know, it's day four, day five, you know, the second week of camp, everyone's tired and beat up, and, you know, mentally you're drained, but you know what, you got to step up and you got to be physical because you're full contact. You know, you got the pads going. You got to, you know, it's time to step up and get after it. He said, you know, we didn't have the numbers. I didn't think they were, you know, in shape enough to do that. And now they have the numbers, and you got year two under Duvall, so they should be able to really ramp it up. And it's all about developing that mindset, but it's also about developing the habit. You know, they're able to go, you know, like Coach Osborne was able to do back in the day. You go some live one-on-one periods on Tuesday, Wednesday. You just, your speed is higher when it comes to the game. Your techniques are more on point because you can get a little sloppy going against, you know, some walk-ons and some scout team guys in the week. You can get a little lackadaisical. You can get a little, you know, you can take a misstep here. You can't do that when you're going good on good in the scrimmage during the middle of the week. You got to have your mind right. So it's not like they're doing it for the whole practice. It might just be for 10, 15 plays. That just carries over. That will carry over into Saturdays. You'll be that much sharper. Your pad level will be better. Just your physicality. You have more pop. Like I said, if practices are a lot harder than games, you'll be better off. And I think that's kind of where Scott's trying to take this program. So, no, I love it. I think that, you know, as a player, it sucks sometimes to deal with it. You're just like, man, you kind of want to get pampered and babied a little bit. Just, you want to be taken care of sometimes. And when you're in college, you know, you're young and you just can't do that because these guys haven't been, you know, they're not good enough yet to be able to, you know, understand that they can kind of back off a little bit. They have to get after it week after week until they can prove that they can handle everything and win some football games. So physicality definitely needs to happen. It's going to be fun to see them develop and see it transfer over into Saturday.
Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer at JayMoore44. Jay, have a great weekend, man. Awesome to get caught up. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Freddie.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Good stuff from Jay Moore. Reminder to buckle up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough. You want a seatbelt or the windshield to stop you. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your body and your when your body needs to slow down in a hurry. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or tick it. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. We'll get back to some football with Bill Dolman in about 20 minutes. And Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, going to be with us on some Big Ten West trends, Big Ten bets going on out in the desert as fall camp is underway. Nebraska practice number one earlier today. So did you ever step right up either at the fair or at a carnival or at a major league park? I've done this. I think it was at the College World Series. I am ashamed and embarrassed to say that maybe at my peak, the pitching machine known as my right arm, and I swear to you, like I'm the only eighth grader in Lincoln Babe Ruth baseball history to have some dude, granted he had gorilla legs, you know, the eighth grader that shaved and could drive, maybe had one of those in school, we did. Anywho, that kid launched off of me when I was pitching in eighth grade, crushed one out. I think the ballpark was 40th and Normal, right? Junior plays baseball once in a while there during the summer. But we're playing a little Babe Ruth baseball, trucker hats, orange unis, Commercial Computer Systems a sponsor. And eighth grade, someone goes yard on me. I threw strikes and I got hit. Right? Just throw strikes, son. Got crushed. Out of there. Rocket. Whiplash. Still to this day. Turn around. Went out in a hurry. I bring this up because we've all stepped right up to show off the arm to the wife, the girlfriend, or the girlfriend while the wife's away kidding. And just show off. Show off the gun. Well, it's a reality. What's the movie with Dennis Quaid from like almost 20 years ago? Is it The Rookie? Dennis Quaid's married to Crazy, or married, related to Crazy Randy, you know, Cousin Eddie. He's pimping insurance now because he's still skinny. The Oakland A's, our dear friend Michael Bruntz's Oakland A's, have signed Nathan Patterson. Nathan Patterson went to the radar gun at the Coors Field speed pitch cage. He's 23. He has hit 96 on the gun. Now, this video, and I retweeted it, Darren Revell initially tweeted it out, the original video of him hitting 90s on the speed gun at Coors Field. We don't know if any brownies were eaten. We don't know if any Coors was drank before the audition. But Oakland's seen enough. They've been keeping track of the righty for some time. They signed him to a minor league contract. ESPN.com, as Patterson's posted on his Instagram, signing the deal. He is in the Arizona League right now. He tried his hand at the speed pitch in the cage in Denver. It got circulated on social media. Oakland says, hell, we might need an arm someday that can hit mid-90s. And a few days later, Patterson says, Oakland gave me a call. He's with the rookie league in Arizona.
Do we know if this guy played college baseball anywhere?
I don't know his background. I just know that he was at Coors kicking and he hit 90-something on the gun. He did have a wrist injury, so he had to recover from that. And Oakland, like, if this was Oakland's old owner from like 40 or 50 years ago, Charles Finley, hell yes, publicity stunt. They also had incredible teams in the 70s with Reggie Jackson, early 70s, late 60s. But man, this is got Netflix special written all over it. I hope he does well. He's still 23. Wrist injury aside, he was in Nashville, right? They started tracking him. Oakland did in January, and he was training to come back from that wrist injury, and he played in a men's league to stay on top of his game. This is cool. I'm rooting for this guy. I think we're all rooting for this guy. And there's probably going to be a slew of folks saying, hell, I still got it. So he went viral last summer at Coors. And then he hit 96 under the same circumstances at a AAA Nashville Sounds game. I'm not quite up to speed on my Nashville Sounds record for AAA baseball. But this is good. Can the guy make it through the Arizona League? Because as we know, Pedro Serrano, straight ball hit very well, curveball no hit. Can he add something? Does he have something? Google this cat for me. And what's Nathan Patterson's background, and why was he not throwing heat in college or in the minors? You just don't all of a sudden hit 96 on the gun. But, man, this would be phenomenal if he someday makes it to the show.
The Nashville Sounds are in last place in their division, so they might need the help.
Yeah, I need to know more about Nathan Patterson here, though. This thing's a Good Friday story. Will, did you ever step right up to the radar gun and show it off?
Ooh, back in the day at the state fair, as like a junior hire, probably hit 55.
Sure, and that's a good number for something. I have not broke the radar gun out for junior. I think he can pitch. He's got a little Hideo Nomo to him with his windup.
There you go. Hide the ball a little.
Well, he does a good job of hiding the ball. But his little cousins have a much more fluid and beautiful delivery on the hill. He has got this little twist, and he hits his spots. He just doesn't have that much heat on it. But he's working. He's still 12. There's still vitamins and supplements to pump into him.
Just no steroids quite yet.
I'm kidding. No, of course not. Call Child Protective right now. So, best to you, Mr. Patterson, and your 96-mile-per-hour heater in the Oakland Rookie League. For Oakland in the Rookie League down in Arizona. We're going to ask Dolman and the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, what they have hit the highest they've hit on a radar gun. Mid-60s for me still. I'm horrible.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio this hour, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Bill Dolman, Danny Burke coming up, Chris Schmidt and Will Bauer. So one last note for baseball, the mother of all baseball brawls resorting in 40 games of suspension. Yasiel Puig went out with a bang his final game Tuesday before traded to Cleveland and Cincinnati. One of eight players ejected. Major League Baseball addressing the going away bashing yesterday, suspending Puig and five others, both managers, for their roles in the bench clearing brawl. And listen, I can't condone that is the smartest move I've ever seen. But with Garrett just saying, screw it, I'm going after all of you. I don't just want one, or I just don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing. Mr. Costanza. It's one way to do it. So here's what you got. David Bell, the Red Skipper, 6 games. Amir Garrett, 8. Jared Hughes, 3. Puig, who acknowledged after Tuesday's game that he'd been traded, suspended for 3 games. Pirates pitcher Keela got the longest ban, 10 games, for intentionally throwing a pitch near the head of Reds' Derek Diedrich, later instigating the brawl. Jose Osuna, 5 games. Kyle Crick, 3. Clint Hurdle, 2 games. And thank God Joe Torre weighed in on this, because I've wanted to hear what Joe Torre had to say for a long time. The incidents between these two clubs remain a source of concern, and it's reflected, by the way, the level of discipline we are handing down today. Everyone on the field should be aware of the example they are setting for fans, particularly young people. See, I think the Reds and the Pirates took their page from Colorado youth baseball parents. Just me. All 6 players appealed the suspension can continue to play until those appeals are heard. Bell beginning his suspension Thursday. Hurdle will serve his ban tonight. So the Pirates and Reds touch gloves in Pittsburgh August 23rd. It's fireworks night, in case you're wondering. What do you do if you're suspended? Do you take your family out to dinner? You can't be on the bench crushing sunflower seeds. Do you watch? Or do you just take it as a night off?
I feel like you got to watch.
I don't know, man. It's kind of like the kid who got suspended from school. You had 2 sets of parents. One set of parents that are appalled, but the kids slept till noon. And the other set of parents that had him up mowing the yard at 6 a.m. So I don't know. Bill Dolman's the you're up at 6 mowing the yard type parent. And we'll get caught up with NBC Sports' and ESPN's Bill Dolman. The Pride of Fairbury is going to join us. Hour one in the books coming up. Hour two with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and Will Bauer with us. We say hi to the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, Bill Dolman, also ESPN Sports. Billy D., what the heck you been up to, man?
Well, I finally found my way to Bristol, Connecticut, and I'm working the Pan Am games for ESPN for the week. That kind of fell out of the sky, so I've made my way here.
Good work. How is Bristol, my friend? Last time we talked to you in Bristol about a year ago, you were in a loud bar.
Well, you know, it's not, and that was Stamford, actually.
Oh, sorry.
It's not as rural as people make it out to be. It's not close to much, although it's, you know, reasonably close to Hartford. But it's just surprising that, you know, this massive media conglomerate is located in Bristol, Connecticut. It's not a bad town, but it'd be like, you know, having NBC located in Grand Island.
Gotcha. Bill, camp is underway for Nebraska. Their first practice this morning. Fan day was yesterday. And between a police escort for Adrian Martinez to get out, he still signed, and someone, and I don't know the fan who did this, but the lower half of a bikini-bottomed mannequin was passed around to be signed. You were there for a lot of fan days, and what's the craziest thing you had signed? Jay Moore was with us last hour. He had to sign a baby, but it was more of a baby in a onesie.
Well, I didn't have it. First of all, I would never have anything of my own signed. That's just not my thing. But I do remember it being there, and I think it was Tommy Frazier's. I don't know if it was his senior season or not, but you know, he was as much in demand as I'm sure Adrian Martinez was yesterday. You know, so whatever was going on with Adrian is not a new phenomenon for Nebraska. For Tommy Frazier, it might have been. But anyway, I remember being by Tommy and kind of having to direct him around, helping the sports information office and Husker Vision and all that. And I seem to remember that somebody put two kids in his hands and said, these are our twins, Tommy and Frazier.
Oh, no.
So I think there were some Husker fans that named their kids. It may not have been twins, but there were two kids, and I'm pretty sure they were named Tommy and Frazier.
What? No Niles and Frazier?
No. I just remember, like, what? And Mom and Dad took the picture, and it was in that tunnel toward the South Stadium. You know, that was led to the old locker room. Mm-hmm. And
did Tommy then get up and run?
No, I think he was as dumbfounded as I was. Really? It's just one of those moments where, you know, it's all pretty chaotic. And, you know, it's just chaotic, let's face it. Mm. And they tried to have the thing as organized as possible. It was, you know, the greatest team in college football history. But it's just one of those things that just, you know, stops the bar. Like me ordering an O'Doul's at an Irish pub, and it just stops the bar.
The music stops. It's the scene from Animal House. We're gonna die.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I remember it anyway, and I think I remember it pretty well.
Bill Dolman's with us, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Bill, is there a player or a coach that hated signing autographs? Like, dude, this is, they love the fans, but they don't like the autograph portion of it because it's going to go on eBay. You ever run into anybody like that you've covered?
You know, back in the day, I think there was still a certain innocence to it. You know, I haven't been around one of those things since I left Nebraska. But back then, there were still, I think, people who were, you know, they wanted that piece of paper signed, and it was going to get framed, and it's probably in a Husker den or man cave somewhere, you know, in Shickley. It wasn't really until I think the last 10 years or so that you became somewhat wary of, you know, people bringing in all this memorabilia and paraphernalia, and it's going to end up on eBay. That really wasn't the case, you know, back 20, 30 years ago when I was around, and, you know, it was a long day. It was always hot. You know, I'm sure it wasn't Tom's favorite, you know, day, but he understood that it was, you know, important to, you know, the fabric of Nebraska. And whether, you know, it was something that he enjoyed or not, it was, you know, it was important. And I think that was conveyed to all of the assistant coaches, some of whom I'm sure really enjoyed it. I'm sure Milt and Dan and those guys love talking to, you know, just regular folks from outstate Nebraska who they probably had a beer with in a pub in, you know, when they were out recruiting. Mm-hmm. So back then it just seemed like a really big family picnic, you know? Mm-hmm. Was it everybody's favorite day? No. Was it necessary? I think so. And I hope that it still maintains some semblance of the innocence, even though it's, you know, by all looks in the pictures that I saw over the last 24 hours or so, and it looks corporate in a certain sense. You know, everything has lost its innocence to a certain extent. But I'm glad Nebraska still does it. I'm sure they do it better than anybody. I'm sure it's incredibly well run. I'm sure, you know, when I think Butch Hugg was retiring, but there's nobody who knew more about how to manage an event than Butch once the plans were put on paper. So I'm sure they've got it well organized, and I'm sure it was a great day for everybody.
Bill Dolman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Bill, as you look from Bristol at Nebraska, and you knew camp got rolling today, what are a couple of things on your mind you're anxious about? I loved what Coach Frost said, and he's so right about, I want to see if this team is tough. That was kind of a theme yesterday for us on the show. What are things you're thinking about with this team for 19?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, as I walk through the halls of ESPN down through the commissary, I'm wondering why there is not a picture of Nebraska football on the college football wall. That, to me, is they've got all these pictures that line this hallway down, you know, down to the restaurant, which is really nice, really good food. But there's no picture of Nebraska football. I'm like, Western Michigan, Tulane, all these schools, and there's no Nebraska football picture. There's a logo, but no Nebraska football picture. So the question is, what concerns me? What big question marks do I have going in? You know, Nebraska. I think this is Zach Duvall's time right now. And I mean that because how have the last 8 months gone? And basically, when the season ends, Scott Frost hands the football team to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's the time to find out what the commitment was, what the planning was, did everybody buy in? And you're going to find out now, you know, what the last 8 months, how well it paid off. And so I think this is I shouldn't say this is necessarily his time, but this is the verdict on what the last 8 months under his direction have been. So I trust that he's the guy for the job. We've heard that about so many strength coaches over the last, you know, three or four regimes we've had in Nebraska. I think if anybody's going to lead the program, it's probably him and his staff. Dave Ellis is certainly back. There's no better nutritionist in sports than Dave Ellis. So, you know, I'm sure the foundation was put in place for 8 months to see how tough and in shape this team is going to be. But beginning today, we're about to find out. And so I certainly hope that there's been a ton of buy-in. Everybody talks the talk, but how well are they going to walk it over the next, 30 days or so before the season opener?
Well, and you'll find out how the bigger, stronger, faster, tougher has gone when Wisconsin hooks up, when Ohio State's here, when it's fourth quarter in Boulder, when it's Iowa on Black Friday. And in Duvall's, I don't even want to say defense, but this is just, he's just had them for two summers, right? And you tell me, Bill, this thing can't fast forward. How from where the starting point was. Like, the starting point this offseason's about where it probably needed to be because the guys put the work in under Duvall and his system and his strength training. They had a year of it. So now you can kind of move forward from ground zero is the way I look at it. And that's the question. Okay, you've got expectations. You have talent. Got a game changer at quarterback and as a play caller, but are you still giving up 5.5 a carry? And you know, that comes down to being able to get off of a block and stop somebody or clear a path for one of your linebackers. And there'll be better depth. I think there's excitement for the defensive line. And I think that Coach Frost said that, you know, there's not too many outliers when it comes to guys who haven't bought in. And you know Scott better than I do.
Well, look, he's
not going to say something like that. I don't think he feeds into the gushy, happy, rah-rah narrative. I think he's pretty real.
You know, I mean, come on.
start over for me real quick because you blurted out. You cut out.
Well, the whole concept of, you know, 2 years, are we buying in or not? Well, look, if you're not buying in by now, then get out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you signed on the dotted line whenever you did. You knew who the head coach was a year ago. You knew how hot this team could be eventually. But if you're still waiting and seeing and you're heading into fall camp this year and, you're half-assing it during strength and conditioning the last 8 months, you're not going to be around. I mean, that's everybody needs to have bought in back on January 1. That's the bottom line.
Sure.
And if one of the weirdest things in college football, I think it's really only college football centric, is in the fourth quarter when everybody raises up four fingers. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. I've been sitting here for 2.5 hours, and now I got 200 people on the field telling me it's the fourth quarter. You know what? It can't be who's strongest in the fourth quarter all the time. It's got to be who's strongest in the first. Because if you are strong in that first quarter and you go out and you establish yourself, game over by the fourth. You know, but if you're waiting to exert your will on your opponent and you're going to own the fourth quarter, what the hell were you doing for the first three? So your strength and conditioning staff and your level of commitment and your buy-in needs to be in the first 15 minutes and not necessarily in the last 15 minutes when you might happen to be picking up to some garbage and trying to salvage a game, right?
Sure.
So, you know, we would demoralize teams in the first quarter, in the second quarter with the third units. I go back to that game we had against Arizona State in Lincoln. It was the year before we lost 19-0 down there. And I think we're up like 48-something at halftime. And we had to put starters into the game in the third, late in the second quarter, in the third quarter, because the backups were tired. You know, you demoralize an opponent, you can do that in the first quarter. If you exert your will right away, and you start to dominate early physically, whether it shows up on the scoreboard or not, it's going to play itself out. But if you're waiting until the fourth quarter to put up four fingers and show you how tough you are, what the hell were you doing for the first three? So Nebraska needs to be the kind of team that comes out, establishes its strength, its physicality, its toughness, its attitude, its discipline in the first 15 minutes, and the game can be had by halftime. But if you're going to wait until the fourth quarter to show you how tough you are, that doesn't mean anything. We've seen enough Nebraska teams over the last 20 years that have gotten their asses handed to them in the fourth quarter because they weren't very strong, weren't very tough, and weren't conditioned. That can't happen anymore. But you got to exert your will in the first quarter. Why wait?
Bill, question for you on Wisconsin and Iowa and their style of ball. With Iowa, maybe they're getting a little more 21st century with Junior running the show on offense. Wisconsin still double tight. Let's line up. Let's go Barry Alvarez ball on you. You're seeing fewer and fewer. I got about 2 minutes. Fewer and fewer pro style. You can still have downhill running and powerful offensive lines. But even Saban, even Ed Orgeron are running out of the gun more so, and it's more spread ball versus pro style ball. Is that eventually going to catch up with the Iowas and Wisconsins, the style difference?
I think, from an explosiveness standpoint. No, I think if you can play a physical brand of football the way Wisconsin, I don't know why is Iowa in this conversation? If you can play a physical brand of football like Wisconsin does, and they can have success and they can win, and they have been winning with it. If you have a system that's in place and everybody's bought in and you got big guys up front, then you're going to have success. I believe you can still have success in this day and age of college football by running the ball. Now we did it back in the 90s and the 80s and 90s, with the option, which not many teams run. So can you completely do it by, running between the tackles all the time? Maybe not. Maybe it'll catch up to them. I don't know. It's going to depend on what kind of talent they have. Mm-hmm. But I think Wisconsin's always going to be decent. And if they're going to make a complete overhaul of their offense, then they're going to take steps back. Mm-hmm. Not that they're going to overhaul it and all of a sudden go run and shoot like Houston in the 80s. But I think if Wisconsin continues to do what they do and predicate what they do with a big offensive lineman, you're always going to give yourself a chance. Mm-hmm. Always going to have a chance with a great offensive line. Do they tweak it? Probably. A lot of what they do is predicated on who they get as their quarterback.
Yeah.
And they may not have had some great quarterbacks recently. They've just been kind of adequate. But I think Wisconsin's always going to be reasonably good. Again, I don't know why Iowa is involved in that question.
Bill, we got to run, brother. Good to talk to you. Thanks for making time out in Bristol, brother.
All right. Pan Am Games on your networks of ESPN for the next couple of days.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Bill Dolman. That'll get posted on the ESPN Lincoln website, the In Demand. Also, Jay Moore's up there and can find it on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. Check that out. Take us with the podcast. Will be up a little bit later. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer. Reminder to your friends out there that may be moving. Maybe you are moving. When it's time to make that move in 2019, it is West Blue Realty who you need to call. Give Tom Luby a shout at 402-540-3768 or Kelly Hoffschneider, 402-202-2312, and it pays to work with West Blue. They are experts. They are tremendous when it comes to specializing in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities. They'll make your move a smooth one. When you mention Hail Varsity, West Blue Realty can provide up to $1,000 upon the closing of your next home purchase. That's pretty big time. Tom Luby and, of course, Kelly Hoffschneider. Give Tom and Kelly a shout. WestBlueRealty.com. What can West Blue do for you? They can make it pain-free with that move. Good stuff from Mitch Sherman and his thoughts on Scott Frost and just embracing Nebraska and that those glory years, right? And one thing about Scott Frost is coach is confident, okay? He is tremendously confident in his plan. You look at Frost and where things were at Central Florida and how they were winless, and then they went to a bowl, and then they went undefeated. And then Nebraska struggled. I mean, we're talking Ofer. It was painful for you, the Nebraska fan, that thought, poof, voila, it's going to be a bowl season or better in year one, because that's how much faith and belief you have in Frost, right? But Nebraska, the way they finished was impressive. I mean, that the way they closed out at 4-2 and could have been 6-0 is something that you wouldn't expect a team to go from 0-6 to at least 4-8. That's incredible. And this team, you know, that's all we're trying to figure out here. What's the step in year two going to be like? What's his step in year two going to be like? We talked with Dolman about strength and conditioning. Scott Frost feels really good, but Frost isn't also a sunshine pumper. He isn't going to throw anyone under the bus, but he was the first to. How many post games, man? You know, we're just kind of getting pushed around. And the leadership point, the rock bottom section, the benchings, your quarterback, your depth. I mean, it all kind of turned around. And when you get a launch in year two and you have national outlets picking Nebraska to win the West, it started, as Dolman put it, with strength and conditioning here, January 1st, right? So you have that winter work, that weight room training, and then you go from the weight room training to the summer work where you're pushing yourself even further. And are you really invested? Because there is some supervision, but it's not the coaches, per se. Now it's camp time, man. It's time to clean it up. It's time to get organized. It's time to be comfortable and play faster and stronger and bigger. Then you have that translation part. Practice to game day. Does it happen? Will it happen? And what games can it be a reality? But and I love this comment from Coach Frost, and it was said a year ago in Chicago. They're not going to run from the past. That's the expectations, because you've got like the ultimate competitor as your head coach now. You play to win. You want to have fun, but you play to win. And you play to win championships in Lincoln, and that's what they're at. And he's got a good model because he lived it, right? The blueprint, the style, the story of what happened, God, 25 years ago. Almost 30 years ago with the football program. So, and it's a little different because you didn't really have Nebraska talk about championships in a lot of the Tom Osborne era, and then you kind of did talk a little bit about playing for a championship. And you got to look at guys like Broderick Thomas that were vocal about what they wanted. And then it kind of evolved into some big wins, and those big wins became bigger stages and moments against the Florida teams you needed to take down, and it worked out well. You finally got over that hump, and you had a great era of college football. The reason you had such a phenomenal era of college football is offensive line play. Let's spend a few minutes here on Nebraska, and you know, you look at some of the questions, the really big points of this fall camp as Nebraska gets ready for South Alabama. And we talked defense, we talked wideouts, right? We've gotten into quarterback play and where Nebraska's at from a strength and conditioning standpoint. But, I mean, the things you take away as kind of what your entree is for Nebraska, and it was laid out for you by Frost, right? I mean, the storylines, the points of emphasis, you got to develop a toughness. I mean, we talk about culture, 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 right? I mean, that's got to be a part of your culture. Are you a tough football team? You got to find out. You want to say yes, but when push comes to shove, are you? What's your attitude like? That attitude will help define whether or not you're tough. Because if you believe it, you're going to be putting the work in to become tough. We touched on the running backs and Maurice Washington. You know, I don't think he's a guy right now that if Nebraska gets any games out of him, it is just a bonus. Based on what's going on and the fact, and you heard Coach Frost earlier on the show touch on the legal situation and it's not resolved. And I don't think this team's going to be distracted by him. I don't believe that they'll be distracted by him at all. I mean, he's been around. He's got teammates that care for him, but they've kind of moved on to their business, right? I don't think he's going to be a guy that you can count on and you're going to move forward if you're Ryan Held in this offense as if he isn't going to play for you. You've got to go that direction, and maybe they have already. You're not leaving him, but you're not expecting him to touch the ball 20 times a ball game, catching or running. The offensive line and Juergens, I mean, where's he at from a health standpoint? How soon can he get up to speed? And what do you get from Hickson? What do you get from Miller? What do you get from Farniak? What do you get from Piper at that center spot? Listen, I think a guy like Will Farniak, and I liked what Matt said about his little brother. He's like, look, bro, you got to put in the work technique-wise. You're the biggest kid in South Dakota, and you're mauling people because you're really good in high school. It's not that way in college anymore. You got to step up. Hunter Miller is a guy that we've seen at center during springs. Hickson's a guy I love at guard. I think he's a hard-ass worker, man. I think he's a good football player. Really tough dude. But do you take him away? Or, listen, do you feel good enough about Gaylord or Benhart at tackle so you can kind of move on and find five? All things that we're talking about, all things that those answers will come beyond just day one of camp today. Can you slide Farniak to guard? Do you just move him down? Do you move Wilson to left guard, Farniak right guard? Do you put Hickson at center? I mean, options. Again, you're five best, but at some point you're going to want to be pounding people, so second and third team fellas can get in and get some experience. Leadership. Let's talk about that. Will, you're a college kid. I enjoyed Jack Stoll's discussion with us yesterday on leadership. Do you have any group projects that you got to like get in someone's face about? You 18 to 22 year olds, I'm sounding like the old man in my yard screaming, get off it. Forgive me. But it's never like been easy at a young age to get in someone's face. There's always one or two kids that were good at it. Kind of rolled your eyes at them. But if they performed well, if they were a good guy on the team, if they played well, you listened to them. But it's just different now.
Yeah. No, it is. And I'm not the type of person to really do that. I don't know. But it's good if Stoll is, because you need that. You need accountability.
You do. And you need more guys from an accountability standpoint. And I think you have that. Embracing expectations, that's pretty big, right? And Nebraska, I think they'll use it as fuel that they're not in the top 25. Or they'll say, okay, let's prove that we're good enough to be in the top 25. You know, they also are echoing their coach, saying, look, we got to earn it day by day, right? That's the motto. That's the theme. And they understand that. They understand that you haven't done anything yet. It's kind of been talking season. Now it's really, really talking season. Because although camp is underway, and we'll get periodic updates throughout the week by Nebraska coaches and players, I mean, we aren't going to see these cats kick off and hit people for another 29 days. So that leadership's going to show, as will the strength and conditioning, as will, the running game. Are you running to Vegas to put money down on Nebraska? The latest trends from the men in the desert. Our dear friend, the pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Coming up, the latest on the Big Ten. And some baseball bets for you. Burke's best bets. Up next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer, we say hi to the pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Burke's best bets at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter, so where you follow him. Danny, what the hell's going on? How are you?
I'm good, Schmitty. Good to hear from you. I'm a little jealous that you got to go to Big Ten Media Days without me once again and enjoy some deep dish pizza, but it's good to talk to you again.
Brother, you're going to hang up on me. I said I'm out on the deep dish.
No.
I did, but I went to, God, what was the place? It's like an old gangster hangout, like on Wabash. It had phenomenal ribs and the sauce, and I'm not a huge sauce guy, but the sauce was lightly put on top of it. Baby backs, they were amazing. They were flat out a Miller's Pub.
Okay, nice.
And Duda had a filet, and much like trading a Jose Canseco rookie card back in the day for someone you thought was going to be great, I gave away a few ribs for a decent size of a filet. It worked out well.
There you go. Sometimes you got to make that move.
Well, and it might be squirrely, you know, trading food with Duda, but it is what it is, and I needed a bite of steak or two, and I had enough ribs left over. So, I said I'm out on the deep dish. Forgive me.
All right, it's okay. I'll let you slack this one time.
You tell me what's going on with the Big Ten. What are the numbers saying out in the desert? What are the trends you're seeing? Camp is underway today in Lincoln.
Yeah, so I actually have some odds. I know we were looking over the odds at Westgate, but right now I got the sheet in front of me for the Big Ten Conference via the South Point Sportsbook, where Beeson is based out of. And, of course, Ohio State at the top of it. They're plus 110 to win the Big Ten Conference at South Point, so a heavy favorite there. Michigan plus 200, 2-1 odds right behind them. And then we got Penn State at 10-1, then Nebraska 10-1, then Wisconsin 15-1, Michigan State 20-1, Iowa 25-1, Northwestern 25, Purdue 30, Minnesota 50, and then of course the Indiana's, Maryland's, Illinois, Rutgers, they're all the way up there. But Yeah, it's very intriguing. I don't know if we've gone over this. I'm sure you have. I'm not as sold on Ohio State this year. So personally, especially with that number, I don't see as much value with Ohio State. I think there's a lot of turnover coaching-wise and offensively, defensively, and just on both sides of both fronts, offensive and defensively. So I'm not as sold on the Buckeyes. I mean, right now my pick is Michigan to win it. I know a lot of people aren't sold on them either, and I can understand why, but it's do or die for Harbaugh, I think, right now in this year. He has to beat the Buckeyes, and he's got to get to the Big Ten Championship. So I think they'll do that. And, of course, I like my Huskers. There's no doubt about that. There's good value with them. I don't know what the odds are to win the West for Nebraska. I'll have to look that up later and get it out to you, and maybe we can hit on that next week. Mm-hmm. But I think they're right up there at the top, of course, with Wisconsin and Iowa too. So, and Schmitty, I do want to ask you really quick. I know the coaches poll came out. I'm a little stunned by a couple of the teams. I thought Penn State was really high, and I also thought that Stanford should have been in there. I kind of wanted to get your take on those teams, and yeah. Northwestern coming in at 25.
Here's the thing, man, and listen, you got a returning quarterback and a monster offensive line for Stanford, okay? Their problem has been injury and quarterback play, right? Costello's good. He's just got to stay healthy. And Stanford, they are just super talented and super smart. I think they lost a lot of close ball games. People don't destroy Stanford. You don't have the ball long enough to blow them out, right? And they're super good athletes. They're intelligent. And they usually, if they lose, it's a close game. I think they lost a lot of close games last year. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think that's how it shook out. I think they're loaded up. They didn't have Bryce Love's consistency last year. I mean, he was kind of hit or miss, right, at IBAC. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what hurt them. Do they have another stud in the wings? Probably. So I think them being in with the returning quarterback, I think that's why they get the nod, because you're looking at the Pac-12 right now. Who are you sold on? You think Oregon's going to be pretty good? Probably, right? But they still have not a great schedule. You think Washington will be pretty good with the Bishop? What's the Pirate have reloaded? But Stanford's really probably your fourth pick out there, aren't they? I mean, Utah's your favorite, but it can go a lot of different ways, and I don't see that much difference. If you had a returning quarterback and Shaw's been pretty good, pretty proven. They do need to pick it up this year. For Northwestern, I mean, Fitzy was all sorts of ticked in Chicago when it came to Love and being picked fifth or sixth again, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have won an incredible amount of one-score games, and they have an amazing record in the Big Ten. And they have a five-star quarterback, right? And they got a lot of defense coming back. Not saying their schedule's the best, but it's not the worst. I think you rank them because they did win the West last year. So I'm all right with that. As far as Nebraska not being in it, Frost nailed it. You got to earn it and let your actions kind of speak for where you get slotted. I think Penn State being at 14 is really high. Mm-hmm. But I think Penn State's probably in a class by themselves or in the upper echelon. They're there with Ohio State. They're there with Michigan when it comes to being an elite recruiting program. They'll get the dudes. It's just whether or not they get screwed up on on Saturday when it comes to game management.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, I'm right there with you. The big question for me with Penn State is I don't think they have what it takes offensively. There's a lot of question marks there with the quarterback situation, of course. Who's going to – I mean, it's been a year, but still there's a huge hole from Saquon Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
Gurley's gone. And, I mean, defensively they'll be amazing. That'll be the crutch of their team. That's what they'll rely on. But I don't know if their offense can keep it up consistently throughout the year. So I'll be interested to see that. And with Nebraska – I personally wasn't too, irate about them not being in the top 25 because everyone's really high on them. So if anything, that'll maybe be more of a chip on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And like Frost, you love what he said. If you're a Nebraska fan, that's all you could hope for. So that's only going to be motivation for the team, I think.
Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, Burke's Best Bets, some Big Ten odds, the latest odds when it comes to the Big Ten. Burke laying those down at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter is where you follow him. Pride of Chicago, I need some baseball picks. I got 90 seconds, go.
All All right. So for tomorrow, well, today I actually had the Rangers run line. That number is going up a little bit. And also, forgive me if there's a little echo. I got to look on my phone to look at these bets. But so, and then I ended up parlaying the Rangers and Astros too, just because the run line got a little bit of high. So I had action with that. Tomorrow, I haven't gone fully in depth in this research, but I'm liking the looks of the Mets and Stroman's debut against the Pirates on the road. The Pirates have just been terrible the second half of the All-Star break. And of course, Stroman's pretty good. And, you know, it's tough trust in the Mets, but maybe that'll be a first five situation because they don't trust their bullpen. I also may be looking at the under first five for the Giants and the Rockies. Bumgarner against Gray, I believe. So that'll be interesting. I know it's Coors Park, but I still kind of like that first five under seven. And then Oakland, I like at home minus 126 against the Cardinals. I don't trust the Cardinals. Road, just every team in the Central, the Cubs specifically, just suck on the road, so I really don't trust them in that situation. Fires is on the mound, so I kind of like the A's there.
There you have it, the Pride of Chicago, Burke's Best Bets at Danny Burke 5 out in the desert, working with Mr. Musburger. Danny, be good, brother. We'll talk next week, getting closer to kickoff. Thanks for a few minutes.
Can't wait, Schmitty. Talk to you soon.
All right.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time reminder, the weekend edition tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranek. Will Bauer is sleeping here tonight. Will, aside from work tomorrow morning, what are you doing tonight?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. I don't know. Friend and I started a movie last night, didn't finish it, so maybe that's a good start.
So tell me about this friend.
It's a dude. It's a dude. It's not a...
It's fine.
Not a spouse interest or anything like that. If that's what you're getting at.
What'd you start?
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Tell me about it.
It's a new Coen Brothers
movie. Will Bauer's movie review.
Oh, it's kind of a weird one. Coen Brothers, you watch some of their stuff.
Fargo and...
Yeah, they're kind of weird.
They're good, though. I mean, it's drama, it's suspense, it's action, it's murder, it's wood chipper, but it's also like kind of a dark comedy. Oh, No Country for Old Men. Love the movie.
Yeah, that movie's fantastic.
And they did True Grit.
Yep.
Incredible. So what's this... Name this movie and what's it called?
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. It's a Netflix original that the Coen Brothers did. It's kind of like six... individual stories
a
book. It's kind of it's kind of funky, but
so what's it about? What's the one story you've started and finished at
it's
least?
It's like the Old West. And okay. So the last one that we watched, it was about a like 1880s like mm-hmm. traveling act, and the dude has no legs, no arms,
okay.
and he's like a actor, and he gives like old literature, Shakespeare kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he ends up dead because the dude like passes up.
So you just ruined it for everybody, but okay.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. So that's anyway, just one story.
That's just one story, yeah, and there's like five others.
All right. Is it all set in the Wild West?
Old Wild West.
Okay. All right. All right. I need him to do another, like, No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, the movie's great.
Big time. You're kind of partial to it because it's... Coen Brothers are all about the Dakota-Minnesota border.
Oh, yeah. With that nice... Canadian, Norwegian accent, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
So how come you don't talk like that?
I got a little bit of it. I occasionally give a little bag or something like that, but I can say bag correctly. Is that right? Did I say it right?
You're calling me a bag?
No. Maybe. No, just kidding. I got a little bit. We're working on it.
No, it's fine, dude. You go all sorts of darn tooting on me if you want.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not. All right. Well, good. So you're watching a movie tonight. That will cost you minimal dollars.
What are you doing?
I just got summoned to take my family out for dinner.
Oh, so. Hey. Well, that's fun.
Yeah. You want to trade? I'll go watch the movie. You go hang out with Junior and the Bunny.
If you're paying, I'm game.
No.
Okay.
That's the sticking point. It's always the sticking point. Plenty of camp thoughts. Kranek and I will get to that tomorrow morning. Check out the podcast, Hail Varsity. A lot of thoughts on the running backs. Coach Held, thoughts from Scott Frost. Great stuff from Jay Moore on the Nebraska Blackshirts for 2019. So Jay was with us hour one. Bill Dolman, live from Bristol at ESPN, joined us. And then we kind of got into expectations and, you know, why 2019 can be different with guys going into camp. And, of course, some fan day thoughts from Mario Verduzco. Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, had the latest West odds for you. Keep that in mind if you roll to Iowa at some point in the near future. And, of course, Danny's picks for the weekend with baseball. Will Bauer, thank you, sir. Talk to you tomorrow with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.